last verse of the Gospel of John.
While you're finding that,
again, let me thank you for partnering with me. Amen.
Dios la bendiga, Señor, hermano.
Amen.
Muchos milagros el domingo.
I only know poquito. He's many miracles on Sunday. If we're in China, amen, we'd say, Shandi Jupuni. My tones are very bad, but you don't know better. But it means God bless you. And we're in Thailand, we say, Twai Ka, which is absolutely terrible. Because just, you know, it's hello. Actually, Ka Pu Ka, that's hello. Twai Ka, thank you. So many tones in these languages. In fact, in Thai, if you go Ka, 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 three different words. Wow. Aren't you glad you know English?
Amen.
But we greet you in the name of the Lord. When I was in Burma several years ago, I harassed the hotel workers. The regional director, one who oversees, we have regional directors for areas of the world, they oversee the missionaries or former missionaries, and I worked with them closely, several of them. And I learned how to speak the Burmese greeting, Yashua Ganji Bibazi, which is God bless you, my friends. He said, how did you learn this? I said, sir, I have harassed the hotel workers for 1 or 2 hours every day all week. I've had to give them several tips. And now they grimace when I'm coming. They know what I want. But I've learned Yashua Ganji Bibazi. So one of these days, maybe I'll get English down. John chapter 21, verse 25, and the word of the Lord said, and there are also many other things which Jesus did. Many other things which Jesus did. The which, if they should be written, everyone, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. I want to preach to you today upon the subject of Jesus, even better than you know. Jesus, even better than you know. God bless you. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. John, as God-inspired, writes a universal gospel. Matthew appeals 80-plus prophecies of the Old Testament, verified to the Jewish reader, Jesus qualifies to be the Messiah as prophesied. Mark and Luke present Jesus in a different light. Same Jesus, same Emmanuel, God with us, but just in a different way because their audience in general is different. To Mark, Jesus is moving. He's not just talking, he's doing. He's not just saying he's a healer, he's healing. And to Luke, he is human. Amen. Yes, God. Amen. Yes, Emmanuel. But he shows his humanity as well. But John writes universally that whether you had a religious background or not, whether you've been numbered among the heathen or not, whether you've been numbered among the Gentiles, that's us, or not, whether you've been Jewish or not and had an understanding of God is one or not, or hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy strength. Whether you have an understanding of that or not, John writes to you and he begins to tell us about Jesus. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. He doesn't appeal, amen, and connect Christ to Adam. And he doesn't appeal and connect Christ to Abraham. See the flesh, see the faith. But no, no, no. He goes back, amen, before the very creation and initiation of the creation of this world. And he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. Literally, that word comes from a Greek word meaning logos, and it can be understood not only as word, but it can be understood as wisdom. It can be understood as Torah in light of Jewish teaching, but it can also be translated as the plan. In the beginning was the plan, and the plan was with God, and the plan was God. The same was in the beginning with God. That's why in the book of Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, it said the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. That in the mind of God, before there was a you, before there was a me, in reality, God looked into our future, and God said, they're going to mess up. And the mercy and the grace and the guidance of God. But somebody, you need to understand that when you get God on your side, you can say like the psalmist, the Lord is my shepherd. And then when the Lord is your shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not fear. Amen. He made me to lay down in green pastures. He led me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. He led me in the path of righteousness. Because he's the author and the finisher. Yeah. He's the first and the last.
Yes.
He's the Alpha and the Omega.
Hallelujah.
He knows you better than you know yourself.
Yes, amen. That's right.
And a good friend knows how you are and they still like you.
That's right.
The Bible said, hereby perceiving the love of God that he laid down his life for us. Yes, 1 John 3:16.
Yes.
God not only knows about you. He knows everything you've ever done. Every deed, every dealing.
Yes.
Every deceit, every deception, every wrong. He knows it all. Yet he still loves you.
Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
I think of the little Sunday school girl. She came home. Her mother, her single mother, was raising her. And her mother did not go to church, but she loved her daughter and wanted her to go to Sunday school. And to be honest with you, it gave her mother a break. She worked 5 or 6 days a week. And she needed a few hours to herself a week. And you can understand that, being a single mother. She shared her little daughter to Sunday school. One day her daughter come home and she ran into the house and said, "Mommy, mommy, mommy!" She said, "Honey, honey, honey." She hugged her. She said, "Honey, what did you learn today in Sunday school?" Because again, she wasn't a churchgoer, but she did love her daughter and wanted to know what she'd been learning. And she said, "I learned today that God is omniscient." It's a big word for a little 9 or 10 year old girl, you know. She said, "Honey, what does that mean?" She says, "The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are everywhere."
Sure.
It does say that. Well, the mother, being an unbeliever, was scared. She said, "Oh, honey, doesn't that scare you? To think that God spies on everything that you do." Now, generally, adults are wiser, but in some ways, children and sometimes they're much wiser than us.
Right, amen.
And the little girl, when the mother expressed her fear that God would see everything she did, would spy on her, the little girl said in response, that little 19-year-old girl, said, "No, no, silly. God loves me so much, He can't take His eyes off."
Praise the Lord.
See, God knows our beginning from our end and our end from our beginning. And the beginning was the Word was made flesh. And the beginning was and the Word was with God, and the Word, it was God.
Yeah.
The same was in the beginning with God. John 1 and 14, amen, reveals this, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Not partial grace, not partial truth, but full of grace, full of truth.
Yes.
Jeremiah, he prophesied God's intentions towards you when he said, "I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of good and not of evil, and of an expected end." God loves you, my friends. God loves you. And John, as God inspired, is writing about Jesus, this plan of God. Amen. I like to call John chapter 1 God's dream chapter. Amen. Because that's where we see, and the plan was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Jesus was everything that God hoped for you and me. Amen. Emmanuel, God with us. No longer God afar from us, but God nigh and near unto us. Isaiah had prophesied about it this way in Isaiah 9 and 6, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace."
Hallelujah.
Isaiah 9 and 6.
That's right.
Isaiah chapter 35 verses 4 through 6. You see God saying through the prophet. Yeah. He said God, even God Himself will come with a recompense. And He will save us. And it lets us to know that when He comes, the lame are going to walk. The blind are going to see. The deaf are going to hear. And living water, streams of living water are going to break out in the desert regions. And that's why when John the Baptist was in the prison, and he wondered if he'd given his life for the wrong reason, and he asked his disciples to ask of Jesus. He sent his disciples to ask of Jesus, "Are you the one?" And Jesus told them, "Go tell John. Tell him the blind see. Tell him the lame walk. Tell him, hey, that to the poor the gospel's preached." Amen. Oh, somebody, you hear what I'm saying to you today? Jesus, He's the plan of God for you. He's the plan of God for me. Jesus is everything that God desired for you and me. He's Emmanuel. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself.
Thank you, Jesus.
2 Corinthians 5 and 19. Praise and we read about all these things as John is telling us about all these things that Jesus did. Amen. He's healing the sick. The Bible says in one place He went about healing all that were sick and oppressed of the devil.
Right.
He's doing all of these wonderful things, Pastor Morris. Blessing, healing. Lazarus, come forth.
Yes, amen.
Wow. Powerful things that Jesus is doing. Now some of you might think, "Oh, that was then and there." No, no, no. It's not just then and there. It's here and now.
Amen.
I had a discussion recently. Amen. I was walking out of my home church. Actually, this was about 8 months ago. My home church there, Brother Lucas, Brother Graham's. And I was there, able to be there for a service. And I was walking outside. There were a couple of young men from our Bible college talking to me. And they were talking about miracles. And they began to explain to me that miracles happen in the Gospels. And they happen overseas, but they don't really happen in America. Of course, one of the young men was from Africa. And he'd seen many miracles. And then the other one was from America. And he explained to him that miracles really didn't happen here, but just over there. And I said, "You're a liar!" I'm a real polite guy. Called their attention. I said, "You don't know what you're talking about. You do well to not listen to him ever again." Uh-oh, got your attention. Well, at this point, the young man from America probably feeling a little bad, but he needed to. Amen.
Amen.
I began to explain to him that that was a lie. He just did not know what he was talking about. I said, you may not be seeing miracles, but I'm seeing miracles every single week by the power of the name of Jesus. And they happen in America just like they happen everywhere else. Jesus is a miracle working God.
Yes, he is.
Somebody say amen. I think you can testify today by the uplifting up your hand that God has healed your body at one point in your life. If you're honest, if he hasn't, be honest and keep your hand down. But God is a healer here just like he was.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
He's a miracle worker now just like he was.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. Here's a photo.
Hallelujah.
Here's a photo. This lady right here. I was in Arkansas, and I'd come out of a prayer meeting, and brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, my key become demagnetized. So I went to the front desk, and I had not spoke to this lady before, Brother Morris. But she was talking to another customer, and there was a pause there, and I ejected, and I could tell they were taking a while to check in. I said, listen, I just need a new key when you can. I need a new key for my room. I'm room so-and-so. And she looked at me as serious as can be. And I quote what she says. I smell the fragrance of the Holy Ghost on you.
Hallelujah.
I said, do you know about the Holy Ghost? She said, yes. I said, have you received the Holy Ghost with the Bible sign of speaking in other tongues? She said, not yet, but I know about it. I said, listen, I will be at this church tomorrow night, amen, and I'll be preaching about the Holy Ghost, amen. I want you to know, amen, she showed up that next night, and you want to know what happened? She was one of several people that God filled with the Holy Ghost. She got a great touch of God's Spirit in her life, amen. I saw her the next day when I was getting ready to check out. I said, how you feeling? She said, I ain't never felt this good before. She said, I've just been singing and praising the Lord in my car. She said, that was wonderful. Do you all have church every night? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Here's another photo. Oh, Dolores. Dolores Bender, wonderful lady. I was preaching in Buckhannon, West Virginia for Pastor William Morey. He's a presbyter for that region in our fellowship in West Virginia. Wonderful man. I preach for him several nights. I do a harvest conference there every year, but this was my first time ever there. And I was doing, this was just last year. I believe it was last year. And I was doing the Healing in America campaign that time. Well, Sunday morning after service, I told him. I said, listen, tonight I'm going to share a few miracle stories and testify, read a scripture, share a few miracle stories. And we're going to have an old-fashioned healing line to close the meeting now. Well, they had basically a blizzard hit that afternoon. Mm-hmm. And Sunday night was the lowest night attendance we had. And so I did just what I said I was going to do. I read a scripture, talked about how Jesus was a healer. Amen. Told a few stories, true stories, by the way. And then asked him to line up for a healing line. Now, well, before it was said and done, five people received the Holy Ghost that night.
Hallelujah.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
But let me tell you about Dolores Bender. She was the first one in line. Dolores Bender had a cancerous brain tumor. Obviously a brain tumor because it was in her brain. And it was so large, it was inoperable. The doctor had told her, her family members were present, her pastor who'd known her for years, pastored her for years, had heard it too. She'd been promised 1 month to live, no more than 12 months. And it was inoperable, intreatable. No need to mess with it. It's too big. But the Lord told me, Brother Morris, before I ever lay hands on her, I will heal her.
All right.
So I looked at her. I didn't pray a long pontification prayer. I just laid my hands on her. I said, in the name of God, in the name of Jesus, be healed. In Jesus' name. And I said, Sister Dolores, you're healed. I want you to go to the doctor and have them do that CAT scan, MRI, whatever they do on your brain, and they're going to show that thing is gone. She said, well, I'm scheduled to go Tuesday.
Praise the Lord.
I got the call Tuesday afternoon. Pastor Morin went with her. You know what happened? They took that MRI CAT scan, whatever they do when it's your head. Amen. They found out the brain tumor was gone. And Jesus the healer did just what Jesus the healer said he was going to do. I didn't do it. She didn't do it. They didn't do it. You didn't do it. But Jesus did it. Somebody need to say amen right about now. He's able to do good. He's able. He went about healing all that was sick and oppressed of the devil. He's a miracle worker. He's Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he can get it there, he can do it here and now. If he get it up there, he can do it for me. If he get it there, he can do it here. Jesus is a miracle.
Thank you, Jesus.
Somebody say amen. And so we give all glory and praise and honor unto him.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Here's another lady. Her name eludes me right now. Forgive me. Amen. I deal with so many people. But I pulled up this photo. I've got so many miracle photos. It's unreal. I pulled her up because she's out of Staten Island Church. Your pastor has a connection with that.
Amen.
Amen. I was preaching for Brother Carter on a Sunday morning. Last year, I do believe this was last year, and I'll preach for him again in just a couple months. I preach for him every year. And I was preaching for him, Brother Morrison. Amen. I prayed a prayer of faith for healing over the whole congregation. And we knew several had been healed. Amen. We knew several, some had received the Holy Ghost too. But I got a call Thursday. Woo! Brother Carter called me. Your pastor knows how big a miracle that is. Amen. My brother Carter is my good friend. He called me. He said, listen, man, I was wrong. I said, well, which time are you talking about? Kidding him a little bit. You've been wrong before, you know. He said, listen, I told you the other day that this many were healed according to their own testimony, but I was wrong because Wednesday night he named the lady's name. She came in and talked to me for a while. I got to greet other people. And finally she said, come up to me again. She said, do I look different? And he said, well, sister, you look nice. And she kept talking, wanting me to notice the difference. And, you know, I thought maybe she thought she had a brand new dress on or something. But, you know, it was just her normal outfit. But he said, I tried to compliment her. I thought it was kind of weird. She said, Brother Carter, I come in here every service for the last so many years with a cane. You know I got in a car wreck over 10 years ago, and they've done over 10 surgeries on my knees and hip, and I was scheduled to have another surgery Tuesday. Whew. But it was a Tuesday. But Sunday, Brother Norman prayed a prayer of faith, and God must have heard it. Because my knee got better. And I told that doc, I said, you do an x-ray before you cut on me. Amen. And he did an x-ray and he said, I don't know who's been operating on you, but they operated it way better than I could ever do. You're not going to need this surgery. And she said, Brother Carter, for the first time in over a decade, there's no pain in my body. Jesus is a miracle worker. I didn't do it. No, ladies and gentlemen, I did not do it. She didn't do it. They didn't do it. You didn't do it. But Jesus did it. Because he said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
See, no matter how great you think he is, he's greater.
Right.
No matter how mighty you think he is, he's mightier.
Right.
No matter how powerful you think he is more powerful.
Yes.
Right. No matter how glorious you think he is, he's more glorious.
Right.
I'm not bragging, I'm just stating the facts. Right. I've been blessed. I've been blessed to have a front row seat to be an eyewitness of his majesty.
That's right.
He's done great things in life. I preached on every continent in this world. Brother Morris, between me and you, there's well over 10,000 sermons probably represented just between me and you. Between me and you, probably over 10,000 sermons. We'll count our sermonettes too. Amen. But if you were to take all of our sermons and combine them, all the adjectives, all the, amen, all the great swelling words we've said about Jesus, we still hadn't told how good he is.
That's right. Amen.
We still hadn't told how great he is.
You,
we still hadn't told how powerful he is.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Now before this service is over, I'm going to give each of you an opportunity to come to the front and to be prayed for to receive from God the power of God's word.
Yes.
God's already ministered to some of you.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Several of you, the Holy Ghost, God spoke to you.
Yes.
He worked on you, but the opportunity is going to be made available to all of you, even those that have received, to receive more. But John, after writing about Jesus being the plan of God coming to fruition, God's dream coming to reality, Emmanuel, God with us.
Yes.
Hallelujah. After writing about all the miracles that Jesus did, he ends his gospel with these words, which to me are so powerful and so revealing. John chapter 21, verse 25. And there are also many other things which Jesus did.
Yes.
In other words, John says, I have not told everything that he did.
Right. That's right.
There's many other things he did. I haven't told them all. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one. In other words, if we were to say number one, he did number one. Number two. Number three. Number four. If we were to begin to list all the miraculous manifestations he made, put them in a book, put that book in a library. Listen to what John says. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written.
That's right.
Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, John said if we were to list the miraculous things, every one of them that Jesus did, bind them in books and put the books in a library, this church wouldn't be big enough library. Fairfield, the city, wouldn't be big enough library. Illinois and Missouri put together wouldn't be big enough library. America wouldn't be big enough library. You know what John said? The world itself could not contain the books that should be. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, I submit unto you this morning that Jesus, he's even better than you know. He's even better than you know. Would you stand with me right now? Don't worry about the music or anything else right now. Just stand with me. Stand with me. If I were to tell you today that you could be healed of your infirmities, if I were to tell you today that your worst and most dastardly deeds could be forgiven, I were to tell you that you can find fresh hope, fresh joy, victory like never before, if I were to tell you you can be baptized, completely immersed, what baptism means, completely immersed. Amen. In the Spirit of God, be baptized with the Holy Spirit of the Holy Ghost today. If I were to tell you that you can have a new identity, water baptized in the name of Jesus today, would you want that? Would you want that? Would you want that? We spend millions of dollars in America alone. I believe it's a several trillion dollar a year industry. Amen. I don't have the exact figure, so forgive me if I'm wrong. We spend it on weight loss. We spend it on counseling. We spend it, American people spend billions of dollars on these things. But today, I'm offering something so much better, so much greater, so much more eternal. Amen. And it's free. It's free. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please. Nobody looking but me. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody looking but me. I want you to make your own decision, not based on others. So heads bowed, eyes closed. Listen to me carefully. carefully now. The Bible said in Romans 3 and 23, which was written to the church, not to the unbeliever, to the church. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It reads in verse John 1 and 8, again written to the church, not the unbeliever. If any man say he sinned not, he deceives his own self.
Yes.
And the truth is not in him. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're here today and you know you need the Lord to forgive you of something you've said or done, there's bitterness or a grudge or a hard feeling in your heart. Do you know Jesus said that if you don't forgive others of their trespasses, your heavenly Father cannot forgive you of yours?
Right.
If you know you need forgiveness, one reason or another today, heads are bowed, eyes are closed,
would you lift your hand right now and be honest before the Lord? Would you be honest before the Lord? Amen. Amen. Thank you for your honesty. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed, you can lower your hands.
If you're here and you have never received the Holy Ghost with the Bible sign of speaking in other tongues, would you raise your hand right now, quickly, quickly, quickly. Thank you for honesty today. God bless you. You may lower them. If you're here, you would say, I need a fresh touch of the Holy Ghost. I need victory. I need joy. I need peace. I need to be an overcomer over something. I need free from bondage, captivity.
Would you lift your hand right now, if that's you? Lift your hand and be honest before the Lord. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed.
You're here and you need a healing in your life. It can be physical, emotional, spiritual, situational, whatever form of healing. You need a miracle in some way.
Would you lift your hand right now? Amen.
We're going to see miracles in motion.
Now I want you to look at me right now.
Amen. Because in just a few moments we're going to open up the front. Don't worry about anything else. How God's going to move and miracles are going to be set in motion. I'm not stuttering. I'll look any of you in the eye. I meant what I said. Amen. You know what this is? But before we do that, we're going to ready ourselves. You know what this is? I'm about to teach you some deep theology. You've got to get several degrees to figure this out.
Water.
It's a water bottle. You know what a water bottle is for? Oh, water. That's right, Grandma. It's wonderful. Amen. This is a water bottle made to hold water. You got a water tower in Fairfield? I assume you have. You got a water tower. I don't know how many gallons, but it's safe to say it holds several thousand gallons of water. Much more than this can hold.
Right.
But do you know, even though this is a water bottle made to hold water, we can take it underneath the water tower in Fairfield and turn the spout on and let it flow right onto it. It's a water bottle. It's made to be filled with water, and water's flowing all over it. But if the lid's on it, it'd still be empty. You got a water bottle made to hold water, and you got thousands of gallons of water, but it's going to stay empty because the lid's on it. You know you were made to be filled with the joy and the peace and the love and the presence of the Holy Spirit,
yes,
or the Holy Ghost of God. Somebody say amen.
Amen. Amen.
But as long as there's a lid on our heart,
right. That
peace, that victory, that presence, that healing, that miracle, it doesn't flow to us. So here's what we're going to do. Before we open the altar, we're going to get our hearts ready. Now, I can't repent for you, and you can't repent for me.
That's right.
But I'm going to make a call to repent in just a moment for everybody. If you say, preacher, I don't need to repent, well, if you've got too much pride to repent, you know what that means? You need to.
Yeah.
Hello, somebody say amen.
Amen.
In fact, pride is not just a sin, it's an abomination.
That's right.
That means it's one of the worst sins. Hello?
Right.
Well, I might as well just say it. It's right up there with homosexuality. Get quiet today. It's sin. Gluttony can be a sin, but it's not an abomination.
Right.
But pride is an abomination. Read the book of Proverbs. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So I said that to say this. That we're going to all repent. Now, I can't repent for you and you can't repent for me.
Right.
But to repent is to know Jesus died in your place for your sin.
That's right.
Don't just know it with your head. Believe it with your heart.
Yes.
So much so, out of the abundance of the heart, that mouth will speak and ask forgiveness. So right now, you for you and me for me, I'm asking you, amen, to open your mouth and begin to talk to Jesus, to humble your heart, and let us, right where we're at, let us begin to pray a prayer of repentance. If you don't have nothing else to say, you can say it, but you got to mean it. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Father, forgive me. Come on, there ought to be some sounds of repentance here. You for you, me for me. You can't repent for me, I can't repent for you. But let us repent in the presence of the Lord. Father, forgive me. Father, forgive me of everything I have thought or saw or said or done against you. Forgive me of attitudes and actions. But God, wash my heart. Wash my spirit. Wash my soul, God. Wash me in that precious blood of Jesus. Wash me. Father, the name of Jesus, wash over me. Wash over my soul and wash over my spirit. Come on, just another moment. Humble yourself. Cry out unto God in a prayer of repentance. In the name of Jesus.